Hey guys, welcome to Tales from a Butterfly podcast. I'm your host, Taria Shondell. Sometimes caterpillar, sometimes butterfly, but always striving to make it through life's many metamorphoses with my faith intact. With this podcast, I hope to encourage anyone that is going through life situations, no matter what they are, that have left you feeling like you will forever be a caterpillar in the cocooning stage, having to continually shed your skin while fighting to get free from any chains that are holding you back from your transformation. I want to tell you, keep your faith in the transformer, believing that just like the butterfly, when you come out, you will be a thing of beauty who is not afraid to fly. So come on, my butterflies, let's fly. You're listening to episode 83 of the Tales from a Butterfly podcast, titled, What's Your Issue? And I'm your host, Taria Shondell. So let's get into it. Hey guys, thank you so much for coming back this week and downloading episode 83, What's Your Issue? So I honestly don't even remember what the inspiration was for this episode. Well, I won't say I don't remember. I'll just say, actually, it's been just on my mind. I feel like it came somewhere from the dark recesses of my mind that I wanted to do an episode on issues and how when you use your faith, your issues can be resolved. And there's some examples of some women in the Bible that I want to use, you know, to prove my case. Again, the title of the episode is What's Your Issue? So first, let me give you the meaning of the word issue. And actually, when I went to Merriam-Webster, there was four different meanings that I pulled. So the first meaning of the word issue, a vital or unsettled matter. Second issue, a concern or problem. Third issue, a matter that is in dispute between two or more parties. And then the fourth meaning of issue, a discharge from the body. So we all have issues in life. Things that come up, things that we've been dealing with for years, things that somebody else may bring to you. And I know that I've heard people say, and I've even said it myself in the past, I know I have issues, or those are my issues, or I guess that's, those are just the issues that I'm going to have. Not really using my faith or having faith that these issues, even issues that I've struggled with for so long, can actually be healed, whether mentally or physically. You know, sometimes you'll hear people say, well, those are my issues and I'll just live with them and I'll just deal with them. But you knowing that you have issues doesn't absolve you, I believe, of the responsibility to be accountable to those issues. And then if you want them removed, truly standing on your faith in the word of God to again have those issues resolved, no matter how long it takes. I mean, when you think about it, you know, if we're walking around saying, I know I have issues and I'm just going to deal with it. So you're walking around saying, I know I have vital or unsettled matters. So do you really want to walk around living life with an unsettled matter? The other definition of issue, you're walking around saying, I know I have a concern or a problem. So why would you not want to rectify the concern or the problem? So again, I know it sounds, you know, it's easier said than done. A lot of things are easier said than done when it requires putting in the work. So I am like, how have others been able to solve or resolve or get healing from their issues? So I turn to the Bible because, you know, the Bible is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And I'm like, well, Lord, if it worked for them back then, if we want to get rid of our issues, we should be able to use the same formula they used and it worked for us now. The word is unchanging. You know, again, we have the same God yesterday, today, and forever. So the common thing between all three women that I'm going to discuss was faith. Their faith was what healed them of their issues. Their faith is what made it possible for them to move on from their issues. One of them having an issue back more than 10 years. It was their faith. So I want to go ahead and just share these three different women that I looked up in the Bible that really encouraged me, you know, in terms of issues that you may be having? Because sometimes it seems like it's a cycle, but it's like a cycle of the same issue over and over. And it's like, how do I break this cycle? Because you can't continue on just saying, oh, I have issues, and that's that. I know for me, at least, it's like it's time to move on from some of these issues. So the first woman that is an example of her issue being resolved by faith is Hannah in 1 Samuel 1. Now, Hannah was married to a man named Elkanah. And I'm going to read I'm going to read 1 Samuel 1, verses 2 through 20, NIV. Now, I know that sounds like a lot of verses, but trust me, it's quick, y'all. But it'll be verses 2 through 20, NIV, just to give you the backstory. So again, remember, Hannah was married to Elkanah. So there was a man named Elkanah. He had two wives. One was called Hannah and the other Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. Year after year, this man went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh, where Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were priests of the Lord. Whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to his wife Peninnah and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he gave a double portion because he loved her, and the Lord had closed her womb. Because the Lord had closed Hannah's womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. This went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. Her husband, Elkanah, would say to her, "Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons?" Once, when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on his chair by the doorpost of the Lord's house. In her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. And she made a vow, saying, "Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever touch his head." As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, "How long are you going to stay drunk? Put away your wine." "Not so, my Lord," Hannah replied. "I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief." Eli answered, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him." She said, "May your servant find favor in your eyes." Then she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Early the next morning, they arose and worshiped before the Lord, and then went back to their home at Ramah. Elkanah made love to his wife Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, "Because I asked the Lord for him." So I want to go back and look at how Hannah went about dealing with her issue for years. So remember, Hannah couldn't bear children. However, the other wife of her husband named Peninnah could. And not only could she bear children, she gave him daughters and sons, someone to carry on the family name. Now, you would think that Peninnah, because she was able to give Elkanah daughters and sons, she would be content with being the wife that could do that. But no, she wasn't content. She had to provoke Hannah, because the Bible says she provoked her year after year. And Hannah would get so upset, she would cry and not eat year after year. But I noticed that although she would get upset and cry and kind of be silent, it didn't seem like Hannah's response to her issue, Peninnah, it didn't seem like she fussed her out, she cussed her out. Didn't seem like she tried to shut her up or wanted to fight. Because I'm going to tell you, you know, imagine back in the day as women, and your husband has two wives, it's legal, and the one wife can give him what you so desire to give him. And she continues to torment and provoke you. Can you imagine just being silent and crying and being in anguish without trying to take her neck off? I can't. But look at how Hannah handled it year after year. She had this issue year after year, the issue of not being able to give her husband what she wanted to be able to give him, dealing with another woman who could, and the woman provoking her, because it wasn't enough for her to continually see the sons and the daughters. And the Bible says that when Elkanah, the husband, would go up to Shiloh and sacrifice for the Lord, he gave his sons portions to sacrifice, right? He was covering his sons. But Hannah, he gave her a double portion. And the Bible says it was because he loved her. Because he loved her, her husband, he gave her a double portion, even though she couldn't give him what she wanted to give him. And this was an issue. He loved her. And he knew that the Lord had closed her womb. So her issue wasn't affecting him, but he knew it was affecting her. And again, she was being provoked over and over again. But instead of lashing out at Peninnah, lashing out at her provoker, she cried. And then one day it says she started to cry out bitterly to the Lord. And she ended up just laying out the contents of her heart at God's feet. It was like she just opened herself up and laid out everything to God. Doesn't seem like she didn't bring up Peninnah in the prayer and say, Lord, you need to fix her. You need to tell her to stop provoking me. She knows I have an issue. You need to tell her to stop. No, she didn't do that. She laid out her honest heartache, what she was experiencing and not being able to have a child for her husband, right? Because that was her issue. Peninnah was a provoker, but she provoked Hannah with Hannah's own issue, that she wasn't able to bear children for her husband. So here she is. She laid out the contents of her heart, and then she asked God to remember her. She just said, God, remember me. And she started praying so deeply from her heart, so authentically that no sound came out. So just her lips were moving. So there's the priest sitting by the church door watching her pray. And then he comes up and accuses her of being drunk because all he sees is her lips moving, but he doesn't hear her prayer. So he interprets what he sees as wrong. And then he comes at her wrong and accuses her of being drunk. And again, she didn't snap off on him. Because think about it. Imagine if somebody interpreted what you were doing wrong and came at you wrong. And even though you knew you weren't doing what they said, it still angered you. And your response, although some may say justified, could come off totally wrong. But Hannah's didn't. Hannah explained, no, you know, to the priest, basically, no, I'm not drunk. I promise you I'm not drunk. But I'm praying earnestly to God for my issue, you know. And she explained to him about why she was praying. As a matter of fact, I'm sorry. I don't even believe she didn't say the reason, her issue. She just said she was praying, and she was praying earnestly from her heart. So she humbled herself to the priest and explained, basically, even though you're accusing me of doing something or being something I'm not, I'm going to explain to you, no, I'm not drunk. I was just crying out to my Lord. And because of her response, because of her taking the time to explain and not just go with emotion, the priest, it says he sent her on her way with a blessing and then asked the Lord to basically bless her with what she was praying for. So here he sent her away and he told her to go in peace. He told her to go in peace and then came into agreement with the prayer that she was praying. So here she was full of anguish already, because her issue was on her mind and because she was being provoked. Then she has somebody else who's watching her pray come at her, accusing her of being something that she's not. And she still held it together in spite of being in her issue, in spite of dealing, you know, being in the feelings of her issue. And she was able to articulate to him, no, I'm not what you think I am. And because of that, he told her to go in peace and then came into agreement with what she prayed, not even knowing. And shortly thereafter, God did remember her and Hannah ended up giving birth to Samuel. But also notice what the scripture says is she went away and her face was no longer downcast. Now remember, the priest told her, go in peace. So she went away. When she walked away, She walked away and her whole countenance had changed. She had peace and hadn't even got the answer to her prayer yet. So she got peace in the middle of her issue and hadn't even gotten her issue resolved yet. So then it says she went, she ate something, she was at peace. She got up the next morning and gave God worship. Still in the middle of her issue, she was able to find peace and give God worship when her issue hadn't even been resolved. And then it says how when she went back, you know, to her home, she laid with her husband, and shortly thereafter, she was pregnant. And her issue was resolved. She got the desire of her heart that she wanted. And to me, I was looking at her responses to everything coming at her and looking at how at the end, again, before her issue was resolved, before she had even gotten pregnant, she ended up getting peace in the middle of her issue and ended up praising in the middle of her issue. And shortly thereafter, her issue was resolved. And so this made me think about us in today's time and some of our issues. Now think back. How many times have you felt like you were not producing like the others around you? You know, and you almost felt as if their success was kind of taunting you in a way. And you really started getting down. And because of that, you started lashing out differently, maybe passive aggressively. So everybody around you was producing like Penina, apparently she was producing left and right children. And here Hannah couldn't produce. So again, think back. How many times have you been in a situation where it seemed like everybody around you was producing and giving birth to their dreams, achieving their goals, giving birth to their goals, and you felt like it was almost taunting because you felt like you were never going to be able to produce? I mean, did you cry out to the Lord from your heart? Did you make your issues plain to Him? Did you lay out exactly what you needed the Lord to do? What issue you wanted Him to help you with? And did you ask the Lord to remember you? You know, and when people came at you, like how the priest came at Hannah and said, when are you going to put down this wine because you're drunk? When that priest interpreted an issue that he just saw but didn't know about, when he interpreted that wrong, when people come at you wrong, you know, because they felt like even though you're in the midst of your issue, you should be acting or responding a different way. How did you respond to them? Did you lash out? Were your responses to get angry and to prove and defend your point? Did you go off on them? Or did you answer as suggested by Proverbs 15 verses 1 through NIV, which says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Did you answer them in such a way that not only did they start wishing peace for you, like the priest did for Hannah, but that they came into agreement that you would birth the very thing that you wanted to, again, like the priest did for Hannah? And when you answered them and they came into agreement with you, did your mood shift? Did your countenance shift? Did you end up finding peace while in the middle of your issue? Were you able to give God glory in the middle of your issue before you birthed what you knew you needed to birth, like Hannah? Do you have faith enough to believe that God truly hears your heart? Or did your answer just serve to make your issue worse? Number two, the Gentile woman, which can be found Mark 15, verses 22 through 28. That's the version that I'm going to read. Now, leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon, a Canaanite woman from that. I'm sorry, let me start over, guys. Number two, the Gentile woman, Mark 15, verses 22 through 28. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre, Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to Him crying out, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly. Jesus did not answer a word. So His disciples came to Him and urged Him, send her away, for she keeps crying out after us. He answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. The woman came and knelt before Him. Lord, help me, she said. He replied, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Yes, it is, Lord, she said. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Then Jesus said to her, Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. And her daughter was healed at that moment. So here we have this Gentile woman who was not a Jew. She was not a Jew. And because she wasn't a Jew, she was considered an outcast. So honestly, she shouldn't have even been speaking to Jesus. It was kind of like against the law because, again, she was a Gentile. She was not a Jew. So she shouldn't have even been speaking to Jesus, shouldn't have even been trying to get in his presence. And yet her daughter had a need and she was willing to do whatever she had to do to get Jesus's attention. But now look at how Jesus doesn't even answer her at first. So she calls out to him, right? Lord, son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon possessed and suffering terribly. Jesus doesn't even answer her. The disciples seem to get irritated, like, really? And they go to Jesus and say, can you just send her away? And they say this in front of her, send her away. And then Jesus still doesn't speak to the woman. He speaks to the disciples. So now after all of this, imagine this going on. You have a need for someone else that's not even with you. And you see Jesus, the one you believe that can solve your issue, right? And you go to him. You're in his presence now and he says nothing to you. And then the people he's with turn and say, man, send her on her way. And then he still doesn't even speak to you. He speaks to them. He doesn't even address her. But what I love about this woman, she then makes her way to Jesus. She risks embarrassment. She makes her way to Jesus and asks for his help. And basically what he's telling her is, I'm not here for your kind. And she says back, but even my kind deserve the leftovers of what you are giving to the people that you're here for. And then he grants the request that she had for her daughter. And it was because of her faith. Because he says, woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. And then it says her daughter was healed in that moment. And remember, her daughter wasn't even with her. So now let's think about the issues that you have in your life regarding yourself, your child, your spouse, a family member, or even somebody close to you. How are you handling that issue with that person? Are you trying to resolve it yourself? Have you basically given up that, man, that person is just going to be where they are. That person is just going to stay stuck where they are. Or is your faith unwavering that God will deal with your issue in your favor for the person that you love, despite what it looks like, despite what seems like silence from him when you need him, when you call out to him and he doesn't even answer, despite what others around you who think they may be better than you, despite what they say about you in front of you, like how the disciples said in front of her to Jesus, send her away, thinking that you're undeserving of God's favor, mercy, and grace. And now here's the kicker. All of us fall short. All of us fall short. So we actually are undeserving of his grace and his mercy. None of us deserve that with our falls and our shortcomings. And yet we boldly call to him to deliver us out of situations and issues time and time again and repeat issues. So how are we handling these issues? Notice that this woman did not go off on Jesus when he didn't answer. Again, imagine the person that you know could help you is right there and you call out to them to help you and they don't even answer you. And then the people that he's with start talking about you in front of you. Man, send her on her way. You know, she's been following behind us, calling out stuff. Send her on her way. She didn't go off on Jesus for not answering her when she wanted him to. She didn't tell them, the people around him, to mind their business. And she didn't get into a verbal sparring match with them. What did she do? She actually pressed her way to Jesus and fell at his feet and worshiped him. She didn't even throw a tantrum once she got to his feet. She didn't throw a pity party. She worshiped him in the middle of an issue that she needed resolved for somebody else that she loved. And she spoke her heart also. My daughter is demon possessed. I need you to deliver her. Even though I know I'm not even supposed to be talking to you. And Jesus says, basically, I'm not here for your kind. And she says, but even I deserve the scraps of who you're here for. Have you done that with your issue? Have you fallen at his feet and worshiped him and said, Lord, I need you to do this, and spoke your heart? See, because she believed, she had faith that Jesus would do it for her daughter. And because of that faith, her daughter was healed and set free immediately. And the daughter wasn't even with her. Her faith was of such that she believed that God would heal her with her daughter not even being with her. So the issues that you have with a loved one, with a close friend, again, with a spouse or mother, father, sister, brother, whomever that you love, and you can see that that they need to be delivered from something, do you have faith of such that you believe that God will truly deliver them from their issue with you going before God on their behalf, with you falling at his feet and going into worship on their behalf? Do you believe it? You know, when it comes to the issues of your heart, your life, is your faith strong enough to push past the voices that are telling you that you don't deserve to be free because of what you've done in your past, or you don't deserve to be free because of your lineage, or you don't deserve to be free because it runs in the family, or you don't deserve to be free because your blood is tainted? Is your faith strong enough to keep pressing to get to Jesus and fall at his feet even when he didn't answer you the first time? And can you worship him in spite of him not answering the first time? How are you handling your issues? Number three, the third woman that really inspired me as far as faith. I know all of you guys have heard this. Well, I won't say all, but I know a lot of my listeners may have heard this and grew up hearing this. The woman with the issue. Now, the account of the woman with the issue is given by both Luke and Mark. I'm going to read Mark. I'm going to go from Mark's account, chapter 5, verses 25 through 34, NIV. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately, her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? You see the people crowding against you, his disciples answered, and yet you can ask, who touched me? But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. Now, again, I know that many of you listening may have heard this story over and over growing up. I know I did in Sunday school and all up through, you know, in church. And we're still hearing about this today, right? But it wasn't until I got older that I started looking at, other than dealing with bleeding for 12 years, this woman was dealing with other issues that came along because of the main issue, her bleeding. So because she was bleeding for 12 years, that's one issue. But because of that one, other issues came with that. So she was dealing with multiple issues at one time. So now one of the issues she was dealing with was the laws when it came to women and bleeding. So let me read you a couple of the laws. So according to the laws, when a woman was bleeding, she was considered unclean and had to be away from everyone. She couldn't draw and carry water from the well. She couldn't cook or serve food to members of the family. She couldn't go to the marketplace. She couldn't have sexual intercourse if she was married with her husband. She was basically like a leper. She had to be kept away from everyone because she was considered unclean. Now, to some women, when you think about it in these times of women working and you know, even with their partners, they're working and then they're the mother. So they're nurturing the kids and there for the husband and cooking and cleaning and washing clothes and doing all this. And when I was doing my research, I came across an article and this woman was saying how to some woman, when her and her friends talked about this woman with the issue, they were like, huh, to get a break, you know, once a month, to be able to have to be put away and just chill out, not being able to cook, clean. Oh, I would love to have that break. But then as they looked deeper into it, they realized that it wasn't a break. And the issues that came along with this woman's main issue, her bleeding for 12 years. So, because remember, during this time, you would be treated as unclean. So if you sat on a chair, they had to throw it out. And anyone that you touched would be considered unclean. So if this woman had children, she couldn't show them affection. She couldn't walk past them and brush them, you know, brush her finger along their jawline or touch their forehead and lean over and give them a peck on the cheek. All things that I do to my kids. You know, you walk by and sometimes the love in your heart just overflows. You know, you overflow with love for your kids and your spouse and you just want to touch them. You don't even have to say anything. Just kind of pat them and keep going. She couldn't do that. And we as humans are created to be touched, to be loved, to be hugged. She couldn't do that for 12 years, you know? And if she did have children, think about this, they definitely had to be over 12 because she was bleeding for 12 years and she couldn't have sex during that time with her husband. She bled for 12 years. So for 12 years, she had no physical contact. Again, not holding hands, not a hug, not anything for 12 years. And now think about it. Think about whether you're a man or a woman. And if you've, when you lose blood, you become weak and you become tired. So that can be almost debilitating. And yet for 12 years, she suffered with this. I mean, I think about that now. This woman for 12 years continuously lost blood and suffered with this, being weak, being tired. You know, when you have low blood, you're cold. And she had to deal with all these issues being away from everyone. It's not like she was going through this and her husband could console her or her kids could say, Mom, we got you. Or her friends could say, girl, what you need? We can jump in, pitch in. We'll stay the night with you. We'll help you. She had to be by herself, being lonely and being an outcast and dealing with the fact that others knew she had an issue. The town people knew she had an issue because they had to be warned, hey, you can't go near her. So can you imagine dealing with all of this, being lonely, being tired, being weak, spending all of your money to get better, only to get worse? So here you are giving everything you had to get rid of your main issue, because then you know that'll help dissolve the other issues and you're getting worse. But yet you still keep believing. And like I said, she spent all she had. And yet, after 12 years, after spending all she had, after being by herself, being practically debilitated, she heard that a man named Jesus was coming in town. And she still had enough faith to believe that her body had enough strength to get in his presence. But in her mind, she also knew, it's not enough for me to just get in his presence. I have to actually touch him some type of way, even if it's just the hem of his garment. And she truly believed and had faith enough to believe that getting in his presence and touching something of his that had touched him would heal her. She didn't let the fear of not being healed or cured stop her, because again, she went through this for 12 years. She went to doctor after doctor, spent all she had, and grew worse. So she didn't even let the fear or doubt come in, or even if the doubt came in, she didn't let it control her or let it take root and say, why am I even going? Because nothing else worked. She said, I'm going to press my way on. She didn't say, I've had this issue for so long, and although I'm working on it, I don't know if it's really ever going to happen. She didn't let her previous track record of doctor's appointments that yielded nothing make her doubt what she believed in her mind and purposed in her heart. See, a lot of times we may have issues, and because of the way others have handled our issues, we take that into accountability when wanting to get an issue healed. So we'll say, Lord, I believe you can heal it, but in the past, this same issue, and we keep bringing up old things. She didn't take any of that into account. She said, no, I've got to get in his presence and I've got to touch something that touched him. Even if it's just the bottom of his robe. She purposed that in her heart. Now, I have to say that when I read this again for the podcast, I went back and reread it. Something dawned on me that I hadn't thought about before. Now, she went from doctor to doctor and was alone and shunned and considered unclean, which can do a number to your mental psyche. Think about it now when you feel alone. Sometimes you go through lonely spells. It could do something to you mentally. And she still had to deal with not only what it played on her mental psyche or what it could have played on her mental psyche. She had to deal with the actual physical repercussions of continued blood loss. The weakness, all of that. Because remember, the Bible says, didn't say she got stagnant in her issue and just stayed. It said she got worse. So she had to deal with physical repercussions of her issue. But it dawned on me, how amazing is it that in spite of her getting worse in her issue, God kept her alive and still able to move with her issue. She was losing blood daily for 12 years, but yet God kept her blood circulating in her body. Her issue was her blood loss, but yet God kept that blood circulating in her body, giving her enough strength to push through the crowds, because crowds came out when they knew Jesus was coming. God kept her, and her faith was so strong that she risked coming out when she wasn't supposed to, mingling with crowds when she wasn't supposed to, because she knew again that not only did she have to get in his presence, but she had to touch something that touched him. It is amazing that God kept her for 12 years alive, dealing with all those issues and able to move. I mean, again, think about that. How is it that she's losing blood every day for 12 years, getting worse, but yet God kept blood circulating through her body, that she was able to have the physical strength to leave out of her house and press through a crowd? You know, sometimes we go through issues in life that seem so bad that it feels like the issue takes a piece of us little by little, day by day. And we feel like we're getting weaker by the day. This issue is making us get weaker. You know, we feel like the issue will always remain and that everyone around us knows about her issue. Like this woman, everybody around her knew about her issue because she had to be isolated. We feel like that same issue that's taking from us daily, that we feel like could have been taken from us daily for years. And everybody around us knows our issues, and we feel like we should just go ahead and succumb to it and go ahead and live with it. But this woman is proof that our faith in God and our willingness to be courageous enough and press through, not only to get to God, but to touch him with our issues. Now think about this. She was not even allowed to touch the regular folks around her. But she said, I believe that if I touch him, I will be healed. She knew, again, she couldn't even touch the regular people around her. But she made up in her mind, I may not can touch them, but I'm surely going to touch him and be healed. Her faith is what drove her. And she's proof that our faith and our willingness to be courageous and again, press through to get to God and to be bold enough to touch God puts us in a position for our issue to be corrected in front of the same people that made us feel like outcasts. Jesus could have, when she touched him, he felt the virtue go out of him. He could have just kept going, but he stopped and asked, who touched me? And when the disciples answered, like, Jesus, all these people out here touching you, he didn't say anything. He just looked, and she came forward. And so when she came forward, what did she do? She told him what she did because of the issue she had. And he said, your faith has made you whole. So the same people that knew her as an outcast, those same people witnessed her boldness, witnessed her ability to be able to get in Jesus' presence and touch him and be healed. She was healed in front of those same people. Her issue immediately was healed in front of those same people that thought she was an outcast. You know, our determination to get to God, despite having to walk through people who know our issues, our willingness to not give up while in loneliness and sickness, when in isolation, and during the times when, just like the woman with the issue, Hannah, we haven't birthed anything. We haven't birthed the very thing that we feel pregnant with. You know, our fight to walk by faith and not by our sight and our circumstance, this is what will touch God. Our faith is what will not only get us in God's presence, but touch him and cause him to pause and turn around and look for the one who touched him. Our faith is what does that for us. Our faith in God and him seeing our faith and feeling our faith will leave him with no choice to not only acknowledge our faith, but to make us completely whole again. It's our faith that helps us with our issues. So again, I ask you, what's your issue? Guys, thank you so much for hanging out with me today and listening to Tales from a Butterfly, episode 83. Now go to either iTunes, Blueberry, BLUBRRY, Stitcher, Google Play Music, Spotify, or any other place podcasts can be found and type in Tales from a Butterfly and subscribe to the podcast. And please rate the podcast by clicking on the 5th star. For those of you with an iPhone, it takes less than 2 minutes. So if you have an iPhone, if you're already subscribed on iTunes, please go to the search button in iTunes, type in Tales from a Butterfly. When you see the picture for the podcast come up, click on it, scroll down to the middle of the page, click on that 5th star, and then scroll down a little further, and please rate the podcast. Hey, you can rate each episode. That would be great. And comment as well. FYI, if you don't have iTunes, as I mentioned earlier, you can listen in on Blueberry, BLUBRRY.com. Now, when you pull up Blueberry.com, go to the search button, type in Tales from a Butterfly. The directory pops up. You can click on any podcast episode. And when the podcast episode comes up, there'll be a little box within the episode, and it'll show you different ways you can subscribe. You can even subscribe by email. Also, you can download, if you have an Android, go to your Google Play Store and there's free podcast apps. You would download the app, go to the search button. Once you download the free podcast app, I believe it's orange for Android, and I think there's a purple one too. And then type in Tales from a Butterfly and subscribe to that, and you'll get all the latest episodes that come out. Now, the more ratings I get, the more visible the podcast, which in turn could bring in more sponsors. Also, head on over to TariaShondell.com. That's T as in Tom, TariaShondell.com, to follow my blog by the same name, Tales from a Butterfly. And head on over to YouTube and type in Tales from a Butterfly for my vlog that I'm now putting out. Check it out. Make sure you subscribe to that one, rate it, and leave a comment over there as well. And please share the episodes with your friends, family, coworkers, even that cashier that you talk to at the hair store, at Sally's, at Wise, at Mars, if there's any Mars left, everywhere, Rite Aid, CVS, share it. And when they say, I don't know, what is a podcast? I don't know how to do it. Say, girl, man, let me see your phone. Subscribe them real quick. Boom, done. I'm pretty sure they'll thank you for it. I mean, after all, I'm sure they'll, you know, trust your taste. And please share the podcast on your social medias like you share that meme. Mm-hmm. And speaking of social media, you can follow me on Twitter at T.S. Faison, Instagram T.S. Faison, Facebook Tales from a Butterfly, and again on YouTube at Tales from a Butterfly. And butterflies, no matter what issues are trying to stop you, whether from the past or new ones trying to come up in your present, whether they are issues concerning your physical or emotional state, whether they're issues that are concerning someone that you love, remember, keep pressing toward God, and no matter what or who surrounds you and deems you an outcast, all you have to do is use your faith to propel you closer to God, and not only get in his presence, but you'll touch his heart. And remember, with your faith and God's power at work together, there is nothing that you can't do and no issue that God can't heal. Fly on, butterflies. I love you guys, and thanks for listening.